God's three appointments with every person. We're going to be looking at Hebrews 9:27. We'll be in Romans quite a bit. All of us make appointments, don't we? We all have these appointments. We have medical appointments. We have, you know, appointments with the dentist. For those of you that are not chickens like me, we make appointments for church things, business meetings, church committee meetings, and getting here on time for different things. We make business appointments, maybe with, I don't know, lawyers or whatever. If you're working, you have those kinds of appointments as well. We make social appointments. We're going to meet somebody for lunch or for dinner or just for fun. And I heard that young people make appointments and they call them dates. But, you know, we've discovered also from experience, I have, that some people make appointments specifically, seems like, with no intention of keeping it. I mean, they say, yeah, we'll meet you, and then they don't. And you just never know what's going to happen. Now, others are just late for their appointments. We have family members. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but we have family members that are notorious for just being a little bit late or sometimes a lot late. And so we just add 30 minutes to whatever time we're supposed to be there, and we know we'll be on time. Then there's others that came out of the military school of keeping appointments, and if you're on time, you're late. You got to be there 10 or 15 minutes early. And so it just depends on your own experience and your own learning as time has gone on. Do you know that God has made some appointments with every one of us, with each of us, every single person? He's made an appointment. The living Lord has made an appointment with each of us in a place of prayer and a place of worship. When God's people come together. Now, Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them." This is Jesus speaking, but it's a true statement. He's telling us a truth. He's letting us know that sometimes your appointment to come and worship is because he wants to meet you here. And if two or three are gathered in his name and we are here in the name of Jesus, then we know that he's here with us, okay? We also know that he's made appointments with us in ministry to those that are have needs, that are ministry of mercy to those that are in, we can call it needy, but sometimes it's just people that have a specific need right now that we're given that opportunity to meet them. I'm not going to read all the verses, but Matthew 25:34-40 talks about how he notices how people fed him and gave him drink and visited him when he was in prison. And people are thinking, well, Jesus was never in prison. What is this all about? And that's where he says, if you do this to the least of these, you've done it to me. And so that's kind of what that verse is talking about. God has also made an appointment with each of us at the door, the doors of the hearts of our unsaved friends. Now, Revelation 3:20, he says, I stand at the door and I knock, and if you open, I will enter in. There's a situation there. What we didn't realize is that he knocked because he doesn't just barge in. He doesn't force his way into anybody's life. They have to open the door, welcome him in, and he says he will come in. And so God has offered us an opportunity. He uses us to knock on the doors of the hearts of the unsaved with this message of God's love. And so there's an appointment for us as well. Sometimes we meet people that we didn't even realize needed to hear the message of God. We didn't know that was the situation there. There it is. Matthew 28:20, another appointment. When we respond in obedience to this commission to go make disciples, Jesus made a promise that, and remember, I am with you always. That word always means all the days, to the end of the age. Now, there's a lot of debate about what the end of the age is, but the point is, that's a long time. He's going to be there with us when we're dealing with making disciples and baptizing them and teaching them. And so we have nothing to fear, do we? We don't have to be afraid of anything because Jesus is there. God's there with us. We go and talk to them. It's an appointment that's been made for us. This morning, I want to pray again. I want to pray this time for our own readiness to meet God at those appointed times. And we're going to talk about three specific appointments that he has with everyone. And we need to be ready for that, for these appointments. We need to be ready for them. One of them, I think many of you have already met God there. But there are two more that we're going to have to meet. And we have friends who have not had that third meeting yet, that first meeting yet. And so we want to talk about those three appointments. But I also wanted to pray for unity in the church. I made a mistake of reading a lot of news this week that had to do with Christians specifically and various churches specifically. I concentrated on Southern Baptist because that's who we are, and we're part of that, we're affiliated with that organization. There's no hierarchy in Southern Baptist life, I know that. But if we're going to affiliate and associate with others who claim to be Southern Baptist, then there are some things that we need to have some agreement on. There are some very important things that we need to be agreed on. And so I've been reading about churches around the country, around the world. I've been reading about other denominations just to kind of see if they're having a similar problem. And I am aghast that we all are. We're all having some problems. Now, maybe it's because even though the church is the body of Christ, it's made up of humans. Is that possible? Is it possible that that's why we're having so much trouble? And if that's the case, then we clearly need to pray that God will have us ready to meet God at the right times, at His appointed times, and we need to have unity. Does that mean uniformity? No. It won't be uniformity. Take a moment and just look around the room, would you, for a moment? Just look around, okay? Just look around. We all look different. We have different color hair, although some of us really have the right color hair. And we have different, you know, heights and widths and so forth. We wear glasses or we don't. We have all kinds of things that are in common, but also things that are different. And yet, we are here to worship Almighty God. We are here to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there's a unity in that. That there's a unity there. So we're going to pray that we have this kind of unity that's been going on here and is going on here. We want to see that translate to other churches and other places because there are some serious, I don't want to call it fights, but they're problems, folks, okay? There are some challenges that these churches are facing. And the convention is facing some situations this week especially and in the months to come that could have an impact eventually. It may trickle right down. And so we need to be ready for that, okay? I think that we're going on the right track so far. We're moving forward like we're supposed to. We're hooked up to the Bible. That's where we're supposed to be. We're determined to come here to worship God. And we're here to talk about Jesus. We're here to hear what the Holy Spirit is leading, what God is telling us to do. We just want to make sure that we're unified in that direction, okay? Let's pray together, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Your name is so holy that there are people who just don't want to say it, but Lord, You gave us permission to use Your name. Lord, Lord God. And we do that because we acknowledge Your presence, we acknowledge Your power, we acknowledge Your holiness, we acknowledge Your love, Your grace, Your mercy. And Father, because of all of that, not because of what You've done for us, but because of who You are, Your character, Your nature, just those things, we desire to meet You at Your appointed places and times. Whether it's helping someone in need, or whether it's talking to someone about the gospel of Christ, or whether it's just being friends with someone who needs a friend. Lord God, use us and help us to be ready to meet You. And to help us to be that person, to help others to meet You as well at the appointed times. Father, we also pray for unity. I see unity in this body here, and I'm so thankful, Lord. I just praise You and thank You for the people of Calvary Southern Baptist. I thank You that You have kept us unified and kept us going toward you. And Lord, that's my prayer for the entire church of God, the whole world, that people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, that they have trusted Him as Savior, that the whole church, that we will be unified in our focus and worshiping You. And no matter how we may see things a little differently, that we can still remember that we worship You. And that's our focus and that's our purpose. Father, I ask all of this in the name of Jesus, who is our Savior. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I do want to issue a bit of a challenge to you. Here's the challenge, is that I want you to think specifically of just these three appointments that God has made with every man, woman, boy, and girl. Okay? He's made these appointments for all of us. Two of these, I'm going to say, are inevitable, inescapable, and unavoidable. You're going to meet Him whether you want to or not. Two of them, you just don't have a choice. And so if you're looking at Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 27, it is pulled right out of the middle of a whole phrase, a whole bunch of words that Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, I say Paul because somebody's told me this week that Paul did it. Others said Apollos did it. Others said Luke did it. I don't know. I don't know who wrote Hebrews, but it was somebody. And the author, I take verse 27 right out of the context because he's talking here about the suffering of Christ and how He appeared one time at the end of the ages for the removal of sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Jesus came and sacrificed Himself to remove sin from the world. And He's going to come again, the verse after our text this morning, but He's not coming for sin. He's coming for salvation. It says not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. So each of us, without exception, are going to keep these three appointments with God on time. And like I said, some of you have already met Him once. We're not going to be able to postpone it or call for a reappointment. We're not going to be able to do that like you can with, you know, other appointments. You can call and get it changed, right? These two are mentioned in the text. And look at the text. And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment. Well, you can kind of imagine the first one, of course, is our appointment with God in death. We can't get away from it, folks. It's amazing to me how allergic we are to the thought of death, most people. We do everything we can in our power to avoid thinking about the subject. We also maintain the best health possible. Many of you do. I won't say that I do necessarily, but I do my best. My wife refuses to feed me certain foods because she thinks that those are unhealthy. Please explain to her how many vitamins can be found in hamburgers and fries, okay? No, just hamburgers and fries. I don't need the green stuff. Okay, anyway, I know you're trying to help me, but lasagna has a lot of vitamins as well. I know lasagna has a lot of vitamins, and so those are things that I beg for, and I get other things, which are good. And good for me, and so that's because we try to do our best to stay healthy. I do get lasagna. Not every week, but I do get lasagna. We try to postpone death as long as we can. And there's a good reason for that. Don't hear me wrong that we're supposed to rush out there in the middle of traffic and run to death, because we're not. Our appointment with God is at His setting, not ours. Okay? That's kind of important that I say that. But I also want you to understand something else. Great wealth will not keep you from this appointment. even if your name is Bill Gates or George Soros or Jeff Bezos or any of those other folks that have lots of money, it will still be necessary for you to meet your appointment with God in death. Doesn't matter. Great piety being pious is not going to keep you from your appointment. You won't be able to escape death there. You won't be able to miss your appointment. Abraham, Isaiah, John, the gospel writer, the apostle, Apostle Paul, Augustine, Martin Luther, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, if you've heard of him, and Adrian Rogers are just examples. These guys were known as pious individuals, and yet they all have died. They all met God in death. Great political power is not going to help you escape death either. I was thinking about this. You won't be able to avoid it. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan have all gone into eternity. You cannot escape it. It doesn't matter where you are or who you are. Now, this sounds kind of harsh, but here it is. You may die in the cleanliness of a hospital room or in familiar surroundings at home. It might be in a car accident. It might be in the blast of a bomb. You just don't know when death is going to come. We don't really have any particular warning in most cases. The time is uncertain, but all of us will meet God at the time of death. Now, there's only one caveat to that. There's only one possible way that that will change, and that is if the Lord Jesus Christ comes again before you die. Then you won't meet God in death, you'll meet Him in the rapture, okay? You'll meet Him in a different way, which I think will still just be as glorious. It'll just be, you won't have to go through death. So I keep in mind that I'm keeping that caveat there because I don't know when Jesus is going to return. I don't know. He said He didn't even know. He said that was up to God the Father to say go. And when He says it, then that's when it'll happen. But all in the meantime, we're all going to meet God at the time of death. So that's our first appointment. And we all know about that one. The second one is our appointment with God in judgment. Take a look at the verse again, Hebrews 9:27. And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and I think the King James says for man to die once, and after this, judgment. So we don't march into oblivion through this doorway of death. We go straight to meet God in judgment. That's what I understand from Scripture here. This is where we get to give an account of our life that we've lived. I'm not sure about you, but that is not something I'm looking forward to. This is the testimony of the Scripture that starts from the book of Genesis and goes all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, that we will meet Him in judgment. Now, here's some interesting things about this judgment that is very important to hang on to. Number one, now we know that God's judgment on those who do such things is based on the truth. Romans 2:2 is basically telling us that the judgment of God is based on truth. And so it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Doesn't matter how you try to color it, doesn't matter how you try to change it. When you stand before Almighty God, He already knows. Don't lie to Him. You're just going to have to tell Him the truth anyway. So just get ready. I think this is the part where people dread the most, is this idea of facing God who already knows your life, already knows everything, and you're going to go and try to answer to Him. The judgment of God will also be to repay each one according to his works. Romans 2:6. In fact, it says that He will repay each one according to his works. By the way, that's a quote from several Old Testament passages that said that God will repay according to the person's works. And lest you think that you're being judged by your works, you're not. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, you will be. Can I just say it that way? Because if you have Christ, if you have the blood of Jesus covering you, it's not that your works don't matter. It's just that the sin has been washed away. It's been wiped out. It's been removed from you. And so when you face God, He will know that you are already His. He will know that you've been covered by the death of Jesus Christ. And so your works are not what He's going to be worried about. Unless you've done the works that that helped build the kingdom, that helped grow the kingdom, that developed fruit from the kingdom. The judgment of God will be to repay each one according to his works. Both the good and the evil are recorded. I'm going to call it the divine computer because that's how we think. And in the day of judgment, a person is going to face that total record. And then here's more bad news. Romans 2:11 says there's no favoritism with God. So he's not going to play favorites except for those who are his already. Those I think he favors. But if you don't have Christ, then you're on your own. You're out there. Now, in this day and time, in our world, political affiliation could affect the justice that a person receives. In many places, the color of a person's skin can affect their judgment or the treatment that they receive in a court of law. Some people use their financial resources to avoid certain unpleasantness when they're facing the demands of justice. But I'm going to tell you now that none of these will matter when you face an impartial God on the day of judgment. It won't matter how much political power you have here, how many financial resources you have here, or the color of your skin. It won't matter. The color of your eyes, the color of your hair, none of that will matter. It won't matter. The only thing that will matter is whether you are in Christ or not. That's really all that's going to, I think, is going to matter. People are going to be judged by the gospel, the good news, and the divine truth of the Word of God. This sounds pretty harsh. I know a lot of people that tell me this isn't very inclusive. This is kind of exclusive. And I agree with them. Yes, it is. Jesus himself is the one who said that it would be a narrow road. Narrow is the way. He said, wide is the road to destruction, but narrow is the way to salvation, to heaven. And so there's a situation, there's a sense here that it's a very narrow road to follow. And when you're facing God and his judgment, then I think we need to be aware of that. On the day of judgment, no one is going to be judged by public opinion. No self-evaluation. Nobody's going to be asking you to tell me what you think. Give me the top 10 things of your life that you think were the best. Good luck with that. You're going to be judged by the truth of God. And the thing I wanted to put up here on Acts 17:31 is because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. God has appointed Jesus. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. So the author of Acts, who is, of course, Dr. Luke, he is saying here that the date has been set and the judge has been appointed, and none of us can change that. The judgment is universal and the verdict is final. That's a pretty good way to go, I think. I think I like that. I trust that because I trust God. And so if you're not trusting God, we're going to talk about that in just a moment with that third appointment that you need to have with, that you should have had with God already. And if you haven't, we need to talk about that this morning. And so the first one is you're going to be facing God in death. And the second one is you're going to be facing him in judgment. And so if you're already beginning to feel a little uncomfortable, like, wait a minute, this isn't fair. I've been a pretty good person so far. I've been doing all right. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen from any banks or anything. I've been doing pretty good. I even pay honestly on my taxes. I take care of my family. I do all those good things. I have some good news and some bad news. Because their third appointment is we have an appointment with God at Golgotha, sometimes known as Calvary, the cross, the place of the cross of Jesus. This is the most important appointment that God has made with all of humanity. There is no doubt in my mind that this is it. This is where we read, for God loved the world in this way. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. His unique Son. There's no one else like him. So that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is a place where God has appointed that we meet with him in order that we might be prepared to meet him in death and in judgment. Because if we've met him at Golgotha, if we've met him at Calvary, if we've met him at the cross with Jesus, then hopefully, my hope is, my prayer is, we've settled our account with God. Because we've handed it off to him. He said, give it to me and I'll take care of it. And we've done that. If you haven't done that, then this is the thing you need to understand. Because at Golgotha, this is where the awful, vile, evil nature of our sin was dramatically disclosed to all of us. How do I know how evil it was? See, when we behold Golgotha and we begin to hear the story of it, the truth of it, then we realize that Jesus died a substitutionary death under penalty of sin, not his own. He never sinned. He didn't sin in thought. He didn't sin in deed. He didn't sin in words, which is absolutely amazing. And when we recognize this, then we're going to stop ignoring and hiding and trying to explain away and treat lightly this fact of sin that is in our life. God appointed that we meet him at Golgotha, where Jesus Christ was bruised for our iniquities and where the punishment of our reconciliation with him was placed on Jesus Christ. God wants to meet us there at the place where he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. When we come to Golgotha, when we come to Calvary to meet God, we see the awful penalty of sin. We hear that verse all the time. I've heard people say it, you know, well, the wages of sin is death. And I think, you're right, yes it is. But we kind of say that, just kind of throw that out there. And I don't know that we always stop and think, what does that actually mean? See, Jesus took on our sin. He became sin, according to this, so that he could go to the cross, deal with sin once and for all people. And when you recognize that, when you see that, and trust that, then I think you begin to realize something very important. This penalty of sin, by the way, it's the law of God. It's a law that's been around since Genesis. In Ezekiel 18, the very first part of verse 20, it says the person who sins is the one who will die. So you're not going to die for someone else's sin, not in God's law, and no one else is going to die for you except Jesus Christ. He's the only one who could do that because of his sinless nature, because he had no sin. He could be the Lamb of God. He could go to the cross and meet this penalty of our sin. And so you have two choices. You have to, as a sinner, and I'm including myself in this, I'm a sinner, there's no question in my mind, saved by grace. But let me say it this way. You either have a choice. You have to let the death of Christ meet the requirements for God's holy law for that sin, or you need to plan on doing it yourself, taking care of it yourself. You've got to meet and pay that penalty for yourself. God has appointed that we meet him at Golgotha so that we might learn the divine estimate of the worth of our soul. Have you ever considered how valuable Jesus must be to the Father? I understand that Jesus is God. I get that. He's the second person of the Trinity. But he was sent to go and be born as a baby and come up without his glory. He poured out his glory, Philippians says, and he became this man, a human. And he lived this human life. He experienced the things that we experienced. Maybe he even experienced a better life. He didn't have to deal with all social media, and he didn't have to deal with all of that kind of stuff, but he had other things that were going on, other challenges that were going on back then, and he met them without sin. So he could do this for us. I think that in a world that has high population, and it seems like it's growing, of course, but I think that this is a world that where human life is treated rather cheaply. Human life is not always protected the way it should be. Especially in certain parts of the world, specifically. But there are many people also, I know people who don't consider themselves to be worth much. They kind of look down on themselves and think of themselves as being just not valuable to anyone. And part of our responsibility as believers is to not only let them know that they have value and worth, but why? That's because God loves them, because God created them, because God has something specific for them. This meeting at Golgotha to start things rolling. Because one day they're going to have to meet Him in death and they're going to have to meet Him at judgment, and we don't want anyone to perish. God said that specifically. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And He's patient. He waits for as long sometimes as it takes. It may take a long time. So, people can see their worth, I think, at Golgotha, at Calvary, better than at any other place that you might go. No matter how many words we talk about how valuable somebody is, or I value you, I appreciate you, we use all those words today, but I think if we bring them to Golgotha, we bring them to the cross and explain to them what Jesus did on that cross, how God sent His Son for you, then I think then and only then does someone begin to recognize just how valuable they are in God's eyes. Does anyone else really matter? I mean, it's great that people like you and like me, and it's great that people say, I value you and I appreciate you. I love hearing that. It's great affirmation, but I really want to hear that from the Lord God more than anyone else. No offense, folks, but that's who I want to hear it from. Because knowing that I'm valuable to Him, then I know that I'm in good hands, if that makes sense. And this is where you can see it right here. God has demonstrated the extent to which He will go to save the soul of someone. He's gone a long way. The sinless Savior died for our sins so that we might be able to live in the presence of God as if we had never sinned. That's an incredible gift. God would have us meet him there at Golgotha so that He can reveal the height and the depth, the length and the breadth of His love for lost men and women, for lost boys and girls. It's impossible for us to understand why He should love us this way. I don't think we can ever really understand it. I don't know that we ever will until we're actually there in His presence before His throne. And then we might begin to grasp just how much and why. But we can certainly in the meantime rejoice and respond to that love in faith. Because that's what God's Word says. If you come by faith to the foot of the cross and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now I know some folks really have a problem with that Lord part. But let me ask you a question. Who do you want in charge of your life? Yourself or Jesus Christ? That's all Lord means. It means you're asking Him to come in and take over your life. That's not works, folks. That's faith. I'm going to ask you, Jesus, to come into my life and take over my life and help me to live the best I can for you. I don't want to sin anymore. I'm tired of doing that. I need you to cleanse me from my sin. And so I'm asking you to be my Lord. I'm asking you to be my Savior. That's not works, folks. That's not working. That's coming to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and saying, I want you in my life. And that's, we call that faith. Because when you come to Him like this, you'll receive the gift of forgiveness of your sins and you'll get this new life that Jesus offered, an abundant life, full. Then you'll be prepared not only for these two inevitable and inescapable appointments with God in death and in judgment, but you're going to also be prepared for that abundant life, because He will begin to change you from the inside out, but He will begin to change you, and life will just look so much different. So much better, I can just tell you that. I will say this, if you have not already done this, then may God help you to do it today. Because when you walk out this door, you could be facing the next appointment you have. And that is with God in death. I don't want anyone to perish. God doesn't want anyone to perish. No one in this church wants anyone to perish. We don't. This is the heartbeat of our church. I know this. I felt it. And so, folks, I'm calling you. I'm calling you out. If you're not someone who has trusted Jesus, I'm calling you to do that today. I'm going to ask you to stand, please. I'm going to pray. And then the music team is going to be up here. They're going to lead us in a song of invitation, as it's called. The invitation is to invite you to come and talk about Jesus if that's something you want to talk about. If that's something you're not sure about, this is that time for you to do that. And just so you know, when we stop singing and we close the service and we go to eat our fellowship meal and go all to do that stuff, the invitation isn't over. It just stopped for that moment, but we're just taking a break. But I'm always open. I'm always willing to talk to someone about these things. We invite you to talk about baptism. If you've not been baptized scripturally, we ask you to think about that. Membership in Calvary Southern Baptist Church, if you want to be part of our church, we ask you to think about that. If you just want to come and pray. See, we call this up here, these steps up here, we call that an altar. It's kind of a funny name to give it, but sometimes people feel like they need to bow before God. They need to just bow before Him, and that's fine. So if you need to do that, come on up here. If you need to sit down where you are, you can do that. If you need to stand where you are and pray, you should do that. We just ask you to think of what God has said here and remember these appointments you have with Him. All right, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, You have graciously and mercifully allowed us to hear a portion of Your word today. And examine where You're taking us. Some of us have already met You at the cross, Lord. I thank You for that. Some of us are still concerned about meeting You in death. And Lord, I pray that anyone who has that concern will absolutely have the assurance that it's okay. They can do that. But not until they've met You at the cross. Lord God, we don't want anyone to perish, and we want everyone prepared to meet You in death, to meet You in judgment, but first they have to meet You at the cross. And so, Lord, I pray that You will use this time to search our hearts and draw us to Yourself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.